I think we should start with Cameron Diaz.
Right.
Mainly because we're talking about her, but I also think she is probably the best character in the film.
Oh, no.
Oh, hello.
Controversial.
Hey, everybody. You are most welcome. You are listening to the 105th episode of the Flix Watcher podcast. I am joined today by Helen.
Hello.
As always. Hello. You're surprised I said you first, aren't you?
Yeah.
And our special guests are Louise.
Hello.
And Sam.
Hello.
From the 90 Minute or Less Film Fest podcast and also Picture Houses podcast.
Come find us on Twitter at FlixWatcherPod. Visit the website flixwatcher.tv for full listings. And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us an awesome review.
And as we always say, guys, all the films were available on Netflix at the time of recording. There is going to be bad language. There's going to be spoilers. And we hope you enjoy it.
Hello, film fans. Welcome to this episode of Flix Watcher Podcast. The film we're reviewing today is The Holiday, and our guests in the studio are Sam and Louise. If you would like to say hello and tell our listeners about the podcast you do, please.
Hi, listeners.
Hello, listeners.
We never address our listeners, do we?
Sometimes.
Do we? Jasper. That's what he's called.
Jasper.
What? What? Did you just have a memory? Remember something in the middle.
Our listener's called Jasper. That's what I call him.
We've got more than one.
Not that Jasper.
No.
Not the holidays Jasper.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Ooh.
No. We'll get on to him later.
Rewind. What podcast do you do?
So together, Louise and I make a podcast called the 90 Minutes or Less Film Festival, which is a podcast which celebrates films with a 90-minute or less runtime.
And is entirely created by guests.
Yeah.
Such as?
Kobe's been on.
Yep, I've been on. And I chose Black Dynamite. I was going to say Black Klansman, which is under 90 minutes and a very good film, from my point of view anyway.
No, it was amazing because that's a film which it was so much fun to rewatch, but I feel like a lot of people had forgotten about it.
Yeah.
And it was nice to revisit, and it's a blast.
I don't think enough people have seen it in the first place.
No, I have not seen it.
True. Yeah.
Apologies.
You should watch it.
And our good friend Will has also reviewed it on his podcast,
oh, really?
Explain
Which,
Helicopter.
It implies the helicopter that explodes in it. Excellent. Okay.
Yeah, so what's important? What's so important about a film being 90 minutes or less?
I think convenience. It's how Louise and I choose what films we watch when we're at home. Usually, I love seeing films, but often if you work in the daytime, you don't have much time at home.
Mm.
It's so nice to choose something which isn't going to keep you up all night. Also, on a really selfish note, I'm so good at falling asleep during films, which is like a real hazard to my profession. I think a short film is really useful. So yeah, I think my Netflix list basically is made up of films that are under 90 minutes long.
Right.
And I thought it'd be a nice opportunity to talk about them.
Well, I just sort of add, anyone who has ever listened to our podcast before will know how much I am a fan of a 90-minute film.
Yeah.
Ah, kindred spirit. Yes.
It's the magic 90. As you never refer to us. But I think it's one of, I think you're not, you guys aren't unique to the, it's like 2 hours long.
Yeah, the amount of times we've had a spread of DVDs out on the floor to decide what to watch, and we've literally turned over, which is the shortest film? We'll watch that one.
Sure.
It's quite fun. And it's funny, isn't it? Because like, these people put, and I feel bad for this, but these people who make films put so much effort into their movies, and there's so much money has been spent on them. And it all comes down to us on a Saturday night, just looking at the back of the slipcase on the DVD and be like, nah, 300 minutes, not going to happen.
Well, that's
Ooh,
it.
70 minutes, hello.
And it doesn't necessarily like indicate the quality of a film, does it? A shorter film. There's so many, I mean, how many times have we heard, it's a good film, but could have shaved 15, 20, 30 minutes off and it would have been just a lot tighter. And I think
that applies to about 90% of films that are
that
over.
Out at the moment, yeah.
I fully think that every single film could be 20 minutes shorter.
Yeah.
Every single film ever made could be 20 minutes shorter.
Even ones that are already 90 minutes or less.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's some really Yikes. Bold claims there. Wow.
I would happily hire you as the producer for my film company when I...
Yeah, just
started.
This scene, just cut it. Don't need it.
Yeah, okay. Right, guys. Sam, you chose The Holiday.
Yes.
Which is not 90 minutes, no. We should add.
So,
but,
should we do a bit of lambasting before that? This is two hours and 15 minutes long, Sam.
That is correct.
This is the prime opportunity for you to show the wares and quality of films you can have that are less than 90 minutes.
We did have a very long discussion about whether we should choose films under 90 minutes or
okay.
not.
And you thought, basically, because your podcast it wouldn't fit in your podcast, so let's put it into someone else's.
That's exactly
right.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we did. Yeah, well, it was a chance for us to sort of, we're watching a lot of films which are 90 minutes or less, which is sort of a dream come true, but also means I can't watch The Holiday. And I thought it would be nice actually to use this as an opportunity to rewatch The Holiday, 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Can I just point out as well, we did watch this about 3 weeks ago, just before Christmas.
So as we're recording this, it's post-Christmas. This is very much a Christmas film.
Absolutely.
It's not like a rom-com like When Harry Met Sally, which you can kind of watch any time of the year, but
yeah,
it's nice.
A bit festive.
It's nicer than the festive period. This is Christmas to the hilt. It might as well be Miracle on 34th Street.
Well, it is set at Christmas, but it was also set in two locations. One is England and one is in California. And in California, it's never really Christmassy, is it?
Nah.
It's a nice summer flick.
So please, can we have your 2-minute synopsis of The Holiday and then any other reasons why you did pick it to bring it to us today?
So The Holiday came out in 2006. It's directed by Nancy Myers, who is a hero of mine. She's been producing and writing films since the 80s. I think she's approaching like her 39th or 40th year in the industry.
Wow.
She's probably the most successful female filmmaker of all time. And loads of people love to hate on her. So I thought this would be a good opportunity to actually just talk about one of her films. And maybe we can all find something to enjoy in Nancy's work, because she primarily works in rom-coms, which is a genre which people often seek out to give sniffy reviews to or have quite a strong feeling about. I don't think people give them the chance sometimes.
Sure,
there are some bad rom-coms. I feel like I've chosen one of the best rom-coms for you this evening in The Holiday. And yeah, this Nancy Myers was sort of at the peak of her powers at this point. She was coming off of What Women Want, which made so much money. It was an absolutely huge film.
Yeah.
And then she made Something's Gotta Give, which made even more money. It got some Oscar nominations. And then she makes a holiday movie, a Christmas movie, which is, again, not something the Academy particularly rewards. But I think Nancy's thinking, this is going to get played every year. I'm laughing all the way to the bank with my Christmas film.
That's like Prince with 1999, wasn't it?
Yes, up until 1999.
Yeah, and after that, the revenue stream dwindled.
So The Holiday stars Jack Black, Jude Law, Cameron Diaz, Kate Winslet, Eli Wallach, Rufus Sewell, and it's got some fun smaller roles from Catherine Hahn, who's so big right now, and John Krasinski, who's now gone on to become this super famous director, and Shannon Sossaman, who everybody has forgotten about.
Who was she?
She was an actor of some note, and I feel like she had some sort of music career. She has not worked very much following The Holiday, and I don't think that's anything to do with The Holiday. I think she's just got bored of it.
No, but who was she in this film?
Oh, in this film? Oh, she's Jack Black's girlfriend.
No. Okay.
Jack Black's naughty girlfriend.
So tell us what, give us, I think you've got maybe 45 seconds left.
Kate Winslet and Cameron Diaz are two women who, one lives in England, one lives in LA. They're both coming out of quite a tricky personal situation. Kate Winslet's character, Iris, is in love with a guy at work who's just a total douchebag, and she's in love with him. They broke up years ago, and now he's going to get married to someone else at their office, and they announce this at the office Christmas party, and she's so grumpy and upset by this. She puts her cottage on a holiday exchange website, and then we cut to LA where Cameron Diaz is breaking up with her boyfriend. She's sick of him, sick of LA, never takes a holiday. She works, running a trailer making company. How often do you see a character who runs a trailer making company in a movie? And then she goes onto this like Airbnb type website, like a home exchange website, and she finds Kate Winslet's lovely cottage in Surrey, 40 minutes away from London, and they very quickly decide to swap houses for the holiday season. And then they meet Jude Law in England with Cameron Diaz and Jack Black in LA, and hilarity ensues.
So Louise, I'm guessing you're a fan of this straight off the bat.
Well.
Or has it been foisted upon you?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? I think Sam and I have watched The Holiday every year since...
2006.
So this is going to lean into the repeat viewing score quite.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you sort of pick up on different things every time you watch it.
Really?
Is it layered?
No. It's fairly straightforward.
I feel like the film, I mean, Nancy isn't like Paul Thomas Anderson or Quentin Tarantino when it comes to like her director sort of flourishes or anything. But I feel like she does have, like she puts a lot on screen, usually in terms of the decor in the kitchens and things. But like she does really sort of put a lot in there. And I notice new things every time I watch it.
You can definitely see the money on screen. I mean, at the time this was made, this was the most expensive romantic comedy ever made.
Oh, really? Were they both shot on location?
Yes, it was a two-location shoot. When they shot in England, because Kate Winslet's cottage is in Surrey, where Cameron Diaz comes to, the second unit director for the England shoot was the guy who does all of the second unit stuff on the James Bond movies.
Okay.
So like they fully embraced the UK production on this. And they did it, and they shot in California as well. The thing with Nancy is, I guess at this point, she's got these huge actors, 2006, Cameron Diaz, Kate Winslet, you know, like huge, huge, huge names. But she also does like to build giant sets, as you may have seen in this film, and all of her films have these giant sets that they like to build. So I feel like a lot of Nancy's budget goes towards just building these fabulous houses for the characters to live in.
Yeah, because the cottage that Kate Winslet lives in is entirely fabricated for this film.
Oh, really?
It does not exist. It was built for the holiday.
You kind of feel that you know, location scouting could have found
a cottage
that would do quite
any
well.
Any cottage would do, really.
I think Nancy is a perfectionist. She probably had a cottage in mind.
Yeah.
And I think a bit like Kubrick when he was doing Eyes Wide Shut. And there's lots of stories about how Kubrick would send photographers all around London to find the street or whatever for Tom Cruise to live in. And I feel like Nancy probably did the same. And then it got to a point where she's like, London or Surrey doesn't have my perfect cottage. I'll build one.
I love the fact you may be the only person in the world who's ever compared Nancy Myers and Stanley Kubrick.
I feel like there's a really good long read essay that comparison.
Coming to your Guardian long reads soon this weekend. Helen, what are your thoughts on the holiday?
So this one had passed me by. Mm-hmm.
So this is your first time watching
it? It was, yes. Okay. I'm not really a fan of Cameron Diaz, so it's always been a wide berth of mine. I'm just looking.
But in the WhatsApp conversation for your listener, for your benefit, Jasper, and Sam and Sam and Louise, Helen said Jude Law, well fit.
So my notes, selection of my notes, Kate Winslet can swim. She can swim really well. I noted that. Jude Law, fit. And Blockbuster video rental features in this film.
2006, that's correct.
And yeah, I think this may be a theme of Nancy Myers, but this is a film where we have to suspend belief and picture Jack Black being a suitable romantic pairing for Kate Winslet.
Is that the
not,
biggest?
Not buying it.
Is that the biggest suspense that you thought, though?
I mean, I can't buy Jack Black as a romantic lead anyway, and particularly not in this. He's a bit creepy in this. I found him quite creepy.
I think he's very quite creepy. Charming.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to say creepy.
It was a bit weird when he was kind of kissing her excessively, even though they were just at friend zone.
Oh, the double kiss.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think that was the worst. And because I don't think he was like actively courting her. I think for me, that kind of romance kind of came unexpectedly. He was just like doing stuff for his mates, and here's this girl who hasn't got any friends and just going to hang out whilst my girlfriend's out of town. And oh shit, she's actually quite cool. And then, so I didn't think it was like a creepy thing, especially because like that scene was when they had the Hanukkah, wasn't it? Mm. And he just came over to say hi, and then he stood up, stayed with Hanukkah, and then he went, and he was like, I shouldn't have kissed you twice. That's a bit odd. I'm sorry about that. I'm
not even sure Jack Black thinks he should be playing a room. He just seems very, like, I'm not really sure if I'm acting this right or not.
I think generally, Jack Black is a bit odd in this film, generally, but I think his character, I think that romance is not so creepy, but I think Jack Black in this is perhaps not the
creepy.
Best person.
Yeah, he's badly, badly cast.
It's a funny one, isn't it? Because it's Cameron Diaz, Kate Winslet, Jude Law. At this time, I think they couldn't be bigger.
Mm.
And Jack Black is still kind of the goofy Tenacious D guy.
Yeah.
Like, this is the same year it was released, the same year the Tenacious D movie came out. So like, I wonder if Nancy is maybe just a big Tenacious D fan. Maybe she likes School of Rock, which came out a couple of years before this. But it's an odd casting, I think. And I think like I think her note to him is like, just play it kooky and stuff. And I think he's doing like Nancy Myers's version of kooky, which is a bit sickly. And I think some people do love it and some people do hate it. I think I sort of flip flop between it. Sometimes I find him a bit annoying.
Yeah.
Like when he's doing all the music tunes in the Blockbuster video, there's a scene where they go to Blockbuster video and he's performing famous theme yeah. tunes.
Vangelis. Was he doing Vangelis?
He's doing Chariots of Fire, Vangelis, and he says Jaws and stuff. And it's just a bit much. Like, I wouldn't want that if I was in Blockbuster browsing. But then he does bring over like the Tango Ice Blast type thing, and that was nice.
But I think that scene in that Blockbuster is why he was chosen for the film, because that's the kind of thing Jack Black can do quite well, even if it's annoying. Misplaced in this film. I think it's like, as you saw in School of Rock, him getting the kids, getting the kids riled up to start playing properly, was doing that kind of stuff to get them in the mood. And also because he can play the piano, I think, at least. But he did that bit at the start where he played the piano and then he fawned over his girlfriend. Oh, she's too good for me. I wonder what's going to happen with our relationship in this film. And then she saunters off.
Some good foreshadowing, isn't it?
Yeah.
The opening of the film is wonderful, though. It starts with like the Hans Zimmer. So Hans Zimmer did the score for this, guys.
Yeah.
That's cool. Not so, known for rom-coms.
My first note is excellent music.
Excellent
music. Is it, though? I can remember. What riled you? What stirred you up?
I think just it's an interesting score from Hans, who is now known for his like brams kind of music. And this is just like quite a nice, gentle, classical. It stays with you. We keep singing the theme songs.
Mm, it's more melodic and it is quite romantic. Mm. And I'd love him to have used that in like The Dark Knight. That'd be nice.
Can you imagine?
Instead. Yeah. Kobe, what are your thoughts about The Holiday?
Just one point on Hans Zimmer, because Hans Zimmer was doing like True Romance. He had done stuff like True Romance and stuff before this, so he has got this kind of history, not with this level of rom-com, but it doesn't necessarily do the big pompous bombastic things, but also Gladiator was before this, wasn't it?
So
he can do big, and then I guess he probably just thought this is a bit of a favour. Honestly, this film was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. That's perhaps the 100% best I can say in one big statement. If you look at the DVD cover, that says every reason why I haven't seen this film up until now.
I mean, that is a pretty shoddy DVD
it's
cover.
It's horrific.
I'm sorry,
to me.
Home Entertainment people.
Yeah, that makes me sick looking at the DVD cover.
Apart from the Jude Law's face.
No, I don't care for it. You've got Jack Black's super smug.
This film is about smugness. If you want to watch people being smug, then. Yeah. Please watch this film.
Kate Winslet's probably not in the same scene at that point. That's been superimposed next to him. I don't know who she's smiling at, not looking at him. And the picture of smug Jude Law with smiling Cameron Diaz as well. I don't know. It just does not sit well with me. And that's why I haven't watched this film. But having said that, you know, it's a Christmas movie.
It wasn't
movie.
As bad as I thought it was going to be either.
It's a rom-com.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not as, it's no, in nowhere near as abhorrent as...
Love Actually.
Yeah. Exactly. So I can see why you watch it. I can see why you watch it every year. But still, it's 2 hours and 50 minutes.
It is.
Doesn't need to be. I think this could be like two separate films.
Oh, no.
You'd have to watch each of them separately, at least together.
At least you can flip-flop.
Yeah, at least you only have to go through it once when you watch this.
Maybe it should be like a choose your own adventure, like
Bandersnatch.
Yeah. Thing. Does Cameron get on the plane? Get off the plane. She goes to the airport a lot in this film.
Lots of return flights wasted.
Mm. Yeah, someone's bought those flights. Let's talk about each of the characters. Who should we start with?
I think we should start with Cameron Diaz.
Right.
Mainly because we're talking about her, but I also think she is probably the best character in the film.
Oh, no.
Oh, hello.
Controversial.
That's probably who I was looking, like following more the last time I watched it anyway. I think so. So Cameron Diaz, like, she's got an interesting... It's interesting at the beginning. She's breaking up with her boyfriend. You also get a bit of insight into her work where she's cutting a fake trailer for a Lindsay Lohan, James Franco action movie.
That was quite fun.
And I love in my brain thinking, like, Nancy Myers, no, she's only made rom-coms, really. But she has also done one day of shooting a fake trailer with explosions and guns and Lindsay Lohan and James Franco.
I like to think that she brought someone in, like Tarantino, just for that shot. Like, yeah, Robert Rodriguez drops in for a shoot every now and again on the Grindhouse, for example. I think that's what I like to think.
But I think she comes from such a bad place in the film, I think her story with Jude Law is actually really nice. Mm-hmm. And I think she's the one who sort of grows the most and then also enables Jude Law to, you know, like, let go of his sort of self-destructive routine, going to the pub and getting hammered every night.
He's got two young kids.
I know, but still loves the pub. I just have real problems with Cameron Diaz. I just don't like watching
films
with her.
She gets to the bottom of this.
Well, yeah, what film did it? What was the one that sort of started this aversion?
Maybe The Mask. That was
really?
The first time I probably saw it.
That
was her first film, wasn't
it? Yeah.
So right from the start.
Straight from the beginning.
What are your thoughts on There's Something About Mary? You must have you even watched that?
I mean, I have seen it, but yeah, again, because I'm quite a big fan of Ben Stiller, I haven't seen that one much just because I really don't like Cameron Diaz. And I always thought it was funny that the character of Anna Faris is meant to be based on Cameron Diaz in Lost in Translation. And that kind of sums up how I feel about Cameron Diaz.
What about an adaptation?
Being John Malkovich.
Was it Being John Malkovich? Yeah. Sorry, I was thinking of the follow, wasn't I? Yeah.
Again, I watch it and it's like, well, it's still Cameron Diaz underneath the eyebrows and fuzzy hair. She's kind of toned down her... she's still... I don't know, I just don't find her convincing in anything. I just find her really annoying.
So which is your peak, by peak I mean worst? Would it be Charlie's Angels? Is that?
I mean, I wouldn't watch that.
I quite like Charlie's Angels. The sequel is maybe not as good.
The sequel is Detritus.
Yeah, I mean, I actively avoid watching films with her.
Have you seen In Her Shoes, though?
No.
Which is so good.
Because it's got her in it.
But it's so good. Would highly recommend In Her Shoes.
I can't think of any actor or actress which I would completely avoid a whole film if they were a feature of it.
Shrek?
I don't really like Shrek.
Shrek 2?
Shrek 3? Yeah, getting into the sequels is really, really pushing it for me. Yeah, even the voice is just...
Yeah. You might be missing out on some great films here.
I'm sure she's got some great films that I can't think of off the top of my head.
Not a massive fan of Gangs of New York either. I think I've seen that one once.
That's a bit of a long, rambly one. I've seen it once and I want to watch it again, but...
I would argue this is like a peak Diaz, and I think The Holiday might actually be her last amazing film role.
Really?
Because she did In Her Shoes before then, which is amazing, and Charlie's Angels before that. But after this, she did What Happens in Vegas, which is not great. Ooh. My Sister's Keeper, which is terrible. The Box, interesting failure. Night and Day is awful.
Sex Tape.
Sex Tape. Bad Teacher is quite good. And yeah, then you're in sort of Gambit, which is not good. Counselor, Ridley Scott's bananas film, Sex Tape, and then Annie, and then she gave up acting.
Has she retired now?
Seriously?
Yeah, she's...
Annie was terrible.
That was 2014, and I think Gwyneth Paltrow was photographed on some sort of, by some paps a few months ago, and it was like her and all of her famous mates, including Cameron Diaz, and the article sort of said like, and Cameron Diaz, the first time she's been seen out publicly since her retirement or something. So she's just not actively seeking any work at the moment, and she's got nothing in the pipeline.
Yeah, Annie was terrible. So Louise and Helen, you kind of groaned when Sam said Cameron Diaz. Who would you say is the best character in the film?
I think Iris has the slightly more interesting journey, personally.
Would you agree or disagree with that?
I definitely think she has the more... I find her more believable as a character.
Right.
Yeah,
I think... And not annoying.
Amanda's character flaw is she can't cry. And that's not a character flaw. Like, her thing in the film is she can't cry, which isn't an issue.
It's a weird thing to make an issue of. I think Cameron Diaz just plays it so well. I think her comedic work is so good. Like, when she's in... There's a scene when she's in a little corner shop and she's just, like, necking a bottle of wine. Yeah.
That is a great scene.
There's a scene where she's
chucking a chocolate in the trolley.
The scene in the bed is good. The scene when she's in the bathtub is good. Her character has this, because she makes movie trailers, there's this sort of thing they keep coming back to where the film turns into a movie trailer about her character. It's like, Amanda couldn't sleep that night. And that's kind of a fun thing that she brings. Problem with Kate Winslet's character, Iris, and while she is lovely, she when she starts meeting Jack Black, she's so easily impressed by everything, and Eli Wallach's character as well. She's like, oh, movies, I've never seen a movie, what movies should I watch? And when she's talking, there's like a scene where she's talking to Jack Black after she's watched all of these classic Hollywood movies. She's like, movies are good, aren't they? It's like, yeah, we're watching one. I don't know, I don't think her character really has the layers, or she doesn't really get a chance to do the performance that Kate Winslet probably can do, because she is an amazing actor.
I think it's a subtle performance, just because it's not like a period piece breaking down crying at every moment. Doesn't mean it's not a good performance.
She does do some crying, though.
She does do crying.
She does have that great scene, though, where she's in the bed and she's playing air guitar.
Oh, no. Yeah.
That was just charming and lovely.
Was that the Jet song?
Yeah.
Or Are You Gonna Be My Girl?
Yeah.
I don't remember that scene. I just know that Jet song. Kate Winslet, your MVP of the
No, I mean it's Jude Law.
It's Jude Law. Yeah.
Wow. It's cheeky.
I'm
going
to have to bat
drunken.
For Jack Black, then, aren't I? Go on.
I don't know. I've realised that I actually quite like Jude Law's range. Yes. And I don't know. I think all the scenes that he's in just make it a little bit more enjoyable. He seems to be having the most fun, in my opinion, by doing very little work, just kind of being. A little bit cheeky and a little bit of a geezer and pretending to be drunk.
I don't really rate Jude Law that much.
No, you do, because we've rated him before.
No, we've seen him in Gattaca.
Yeah, and the talented Mr. Ripley.
Talented Mr. Ripley is probably
his
favourite performance of his. But for me, he was someone for a while who I, if someone said Jude Law, I'd be like, who? But I'd seen him in like Alfie, Talented Mr. Ripley. It'd just be like, for me, it's almost like a character actor who's quite good looking or very good looking or well fit, as you would say. But for me also, it doesn't really bring that much to the table, rarely. So in this, he was just another
bit
handsome
of eye
person.
Candy.
Yeah, I don't think he had much to do apart from be a rather unconvincing widower.
See, I think at this point in Jude Law's career, he's in a bit of a downward spiral. Yeah. And The Holiday is what brings him back into the fore. Because before this, he did Alfie, Sky Captain Underworld of Tomorrow, mm-hmm. I Heart Huckabees, all films that got slated and or he's not very good in. Lemony Snicket, he does
That's
a voiceover.
Great. That's a great film, though.
I think because he does a voiceover, we should not include that, maybe. Okay. And then he did The Holiday in 2006. And then after that, he goes on to become Dr. John Watson in Sherlock Holmes.
And
I think his star
Contagion.
Sort of value rises. Yeah. He's like, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I don't know. I think The Holiday is probably responsible for the Jude Law renaissance.
Well, the uptick, yeah. Jude Law renaissance.
Broke him out of Alfie.
going back to Cameron Diaz, I think she is generally quite a very good comedic actor. She knows how to do slapsticky kind of things. I think she moves her body quite well. That sounds a bit odd. But you know what I mean? She can turn it up a bit. And I think even in Charlie's Angels, she's the one dancing around doing the stupid stuff and getting laughs out of what she does. And that, when you first saw her in Mask, for example, you thought, all right, she's going to be the one that's everyone just fancies in older films, and that's what it is. But she has a bit more dynamicism to her than just being objectively good looking, I think. And here, I think you just remind me that she does do that kind of spin quite well in this, even though it's not as not as big as she has done in other films, I think.
I just remember Vanilla Sky. I do like that film and she's in that.
It's not that good a film though, is it?
I know, but I like it.
Okay. I'll give you that one. Tom Cruise and her. So not The Night and Day with Tom Cruise.
No.
So Tom Cruise and her in Vanilla Sky. All right. So Jack Black then. Okay. I really like Jack Black. I just think he's just not the right person in this film, and he's not the right person in some films, but just generally I think he's an awesome person.
His character's the most underwritten in this film.
Yes. And that's fine, actually, in a way. But this doesn't need Jack Black to be in this role. They need someone else who can play piano-ish and someone else who knows films.
So, well, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because in like the Jude Law, Cameron Diaz story, it's very much about both of them. And with Kate Winslet's story, it's about the Eli Wallach character and Jack Black.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really ramp up to Jack Black until quite close to the end of the film.
Yeah.
Almost like, I've not written a thing for him.
Yeah. Oh, they need to end up together, do they? Oh, quickly, let's fudge it together. Whereas it could have been a nice story without that element.
Yeah.
It could have just worked with the Eli Wallach character And her story is just about her having this really great friendship with a guy, and it ends up with him going up on stage and accepting, doing the speech that he doesn't want to do. And that's her holiday
and
treat.
still rejecting sleazy Wallet. Jasper.
Yeah.
Oh, Rufus Sewell.
Yeah. Yes, if Jack Black and Kate Winslet hadn't got together at the end, how do you think that would have affected the story?
Well, I don't think it would have affected the story particularly.
I guess they would have just
been friends.
Yeah.
Kate Winslet's character is she's in love with a guy she can't be with, and she's been in love with him for like 3 years or whatever, and he's ignoring her, and he sort of abuses their relationship by making her work on his stuff, and she does it because she's still in love with him. So I guess it's the only positive is that she not only gets over him and breaks that off, but she also has something new that she, you know, is excited about, and she is in a loving relationship. So it's nice for the character, I guess, to end up in a loving relationship, but it's just such an afterthought.
Okay, we'll go to Blockbuster, have girlfriend walking past with some guy, splits up, get together, New Year's Eve. Good. These guys, they like flying at the drop of a hat, don't they?
The timelines in this film confuse me. I still, after however many rewatches, I cannot work out how long this film, what time period this film actually lasts over.
Because it's supposed to be a long holiday, isn't it? Do you think?
Well, it's supposed to be 2 weeks.
And for the States, 2 weeks is all you get, isn't it?
But it doesn't feel like 2 weeks. It feels like about a month.
Well, they say, it is confusing. So they do say 2 weeks. Yeah. But like, even if they say 2 weeks, I think Kate Winslet flies out on the 18th of December, and then they make a big deal about Cameron Diaz staying for New Year's. It's like, no, if you were to 2 weeks, you would also just be staying for New Year's. That's not a big deal. Yeah. Like, your holiday includes New Year's.
But doesn't she decides to come home early, though?
She keeps deciding to come home. I think she decides to come home 3 times and like goes to the airport once, packs her bags twice every time Jude Law comes through the door.
Yeah, that's true. If she came on the 18th, no matter how she played it, if she was going to stay for the full 2 weeks, she'd be there till New Year's. So there's no kind of, I've changed my mind, I'm going to stay. But yeah, you were going to stay anyway. You're booked in until the 5th of January.
Because her big thing is like running back to Jude Law going like, it wouldn't be fair if I didn't stay till New Year's Eve or whatever. Like, yeah, no, wouldn't you should be staying until New Year's Eve. I think you're due to fly back on the 2nd of Jan.
Yeah, the cleaners are booked for the 3rd of Jan.
I've got new Airbnb guests.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you point out running back in unsuitable shoes for the snowy roads of Surrey?
What about them?
Well, they're unsuitable. That's one of the jokes, isn't it?
Has she grown as a character? Does she know now how to live in the snow and the winter of the UK?
I can't remember.
It's funny, at the beginning, the joke is the driver can't get down the lane, so he makes her walk up with a big suitcase, and she's like struggling. And then towards the end of the film, the driver also doesn't drive down the lane for some reason, even though he just picked her up from the lane.
From outside the house, yeah.
But that's fine. But she can run back in heels. So over the 2 week period she's been in Surrey, she's learned to run in the snow in heels. And that's really good character growth.
Yeah. Guys, let's go to the scores, but we need to talk about Eli Wallach.
Do we?
Well, I think Sam wants to.
Can we also mention two things?
Sure.
Two things I'd like to discuss. One, Mr. Napkinhead is a delight.
That was actually quite funny. I thought I was going to go tits up, but I thought...
It was wonderful, right? Just a wonderful bonding family moment. And number two, why doesn't Iris have a kettle? She lives in the United Kingdom. She does not have a kettle in her kitchen.
An American built her house, apparently.
When's a kettle a plot point?
Well, it's not, but there's a scene where Cameron Diaz is lighting...
There's a scene at the beginning where Kate Winslet tries to kill herself.
Oh yeah, with gas.
By sniffing the gas, and she puts the kettle on top of the stove.
I guess it's quite cottagey though to have stovetop kettle.
But why would she have a coffee machine?
She likes coffee.
And no plug-in kettle.
It's because an American built her kitchen.
There's other things actually. Like an American obviously wrote this film and directed the film, but it's largely set in the UK. Like they're playing Little Britain on a channel with commercial breaks, and Little Britain's a BBC show, so that's inaccurate, Nancy. And also the trailer
that she sees on TV is coming out in the UK on Christmas Day. We don't have Christmas Day films in the UK, Nancy.
No, and cinemas in 2006 definitely would not have been open on Christmas Day.
Oh, you mean coming out in cinemas?
So the trailer is
Christmas
like,
Day. No.
So they would have. What would have happened, Nancy, if you worked in the film industry, is you would have cut an international version which had in cinemas on Boxing Day.
Well, that's John Krasinski's fault, really. That's what he's true. There for.
I'm going to pick up the phone to John.
Well, he's in London all the time, isn't he? Because Blunty's here. Right, should we head to the scores?
Sure.
Let's head to the scores. These are FlixWatcher scores. All of the categories are out of 5. You may have decimal places. The lowest you can go is a 0, should you need to. And we will start with you, Sam, with your recommendability score, please.
I sort of want to give recommendability a 5.
Of course you do.
Give it whatever you want.
The reason being, I do often, as we talked about earlier, the marketing for the film is quite off-putting because it looks like quite a generic rom-com. And I've recommended it to quite a few people now who have not wanted to watch it. And I feel like you two had quite a good response to the film, didn't hate it, great response. But it looks like a film that you could hate.
Yeah.
And most people come out of it going, oh, it's actually quite good. That was all right. And I feel like that's quite good considering the terrible marketing around it. So I do love recommending this film. And usually people at least sort of think it's better than they think it might be. Sometimes they love it. So that's good.
Okay, 5.
I'm going for a big 5.
Louise.
I think I'm going to go for a 4.
Okay.
Simply because if you were going to recommend someone like a nice Christmas rom-com, it's probably one of the better ones.
Mm, that's true.
And it's on ITV2 all the time.
Even outside of Christmas?
Yeah.
Damn them schedulers. Helen?
I feel like we're steadily going down in marks. I'm going to give it a 3. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes. I mean, it's very, very long for any romantic comedy, really. Mm. And not buying Jack Black. I mean, the Jack Black story is, it could have, that whole thing could have gone and we could have trimmed it down nicely. So yeah, a 3.
I think I'd liked it more had they not ended up together and just been friends. I think that would have been a nice way to finish. Kate Winslet didn't need a man. Jack Black didn't need to recover from his girlfriend.
Overnight.
Yeah, overnight. And fine, go to England on a whim for New Year's if you really wanted to, which must have cost thousands of pounds, but anyway. But I think it just would have been nicer. It would have sat nicer with me. I think I'm quite happy with Diaz and Jude Law getting together because that seemed quite...
I feel like we have seen their relationship develop more than we saw...
Jack and Kate's.
Yeah, I can't remember. Iris and...
Jack.
Is that his name in the film?
I don't know.
Anyway,
So I'm going to give it equal to you, Helen. I'm going to give it a 3. Reduced expectation perhaps made me think it was going to be a really shit film, and it wasn't that. So I'd say to people, if people said to me, "Should I watch it?" I'd say, "Yes."
I think
just give it some time. It should be shorter than it is, but yes.
I think most people who Sam's recommended this film to have gone, oh, it really wasn't as bad as I expected.
Yeah. Also, you could watch it in 2 parts. It's nice, you know, you have to do an hour and a little bit each time. Yeah. Beautiful.
One storyline I really liked was the Kate Winslet and the older chap, who I can't remember. I thought that was really cool.
Arthur, played by Eli Wallach.
Was that Eli Wallach?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, so I thought that whole kind of thing was just a really nice touch, that where initially he seemed like he was fully... needed help all the time, but he actually wasn't that. He was fairly independent anyway, wasn't he?
He's quite snappy, and he they have some really good conversations, Kate and Eli Wallach. But yeah, at the beginning, he says he doesn't know where his house is anymore.
Yeah.
So the character, that's a bit weird. And he's walking along the street with a nurse who's not in the rest of the film.
No.
But he, because he's an old Hollywood scriptwriter from the 40s, apparently he added kid onto "Here's Looking at You, Kid."
Yeah, Casablanca.
But it's kind of nice Nancy gets to flex her sort of old Hollywood sort of knowledge there. And that's nice for a film fan, I guess, to see.
So, repeat viewing score. Well, Sam, I can kind of guess where this is going to go.
I really love Christmas films. Like, It's a Wonderful Life is a big favourite of mine. Watch it every single year. The Holiday is the other film
that
I watch every single year. It's so easy to watch. Like when you know an album, and it doesn't matter if it's 2 hours and 15 minutes long, you just know, like, after this, there's this, and you just sort of know it so well. So I find it quite hard to objectively, I guess, sort of comment on this, but I find it so easy to watch, and I love watching it every year. and I'm just going to carry on doing that.
Is it something that's put down in your calendars, in your joint calendars, Louise?
This year we did have a date in to watch The Holiday together. We did.
Absolutely. And the year before that, we put on a screening at the Clapham Picture House.
Oh, really?
Was it well attended? 40 or so people came.
Okay. There was mulled wine and mince pies.
Yeah, we brought mince pies in. Yeah. Nice. Had a nice time. And it was nice because it wasn't just people we knew who showed up. So it was like, okay, other people like The Holiday as well.
You recommended it to them, dragged them along.
No, not at all. There was some actual people we didn't know in there, and it was nice to meet both of them. I feel like other people probably have it in there. It's their routine as well. I think mainly because it's been on TV every year now.
Sure.
I think TV is responsible for a lot of this fandom for this movie.
So what's your score?
I'm gonna go for 5 just because I've seen this film so much.
Well, I mean, if you've seen it every year since it came out, then I think it's a five, yeah.
And there's definitely some times where we've watched it twice in a year or 3 times as well.
Not even at Christmas.
No, yeah, we've definitely done some summer watching. I think I've seen it 15 times.
15?
Yep.
Crikey.
I did 2 this year.
Going to mulled wine and mince pies viewing, I saw It's a Wonderful Life for the first time in a cinema, and that was great. That was absolutely great. So I recommend that. So were people laughing at the right points, and were people enjoying it?
I think so. I think they were laughing at it a little bit, and that's fair enough. There are some crap lines in this film. But I also think people did, I think seeing it in the cinema, like Hans Zimmer's score does really swell. Okay. And I find it quite emotional. So I think there were a few tears at the end of the film. I think there's a few giggles. Mr. Napkinhead is a great comedy set piece in there. But no one walked out, and that's always a bonus.
Louise?
Well, I'm going to have to go 2.5.
Oof.
I'm sorry. As much as I've seen this film, I think I could go a few years without watching it. I need a break, Sam.
You need a holiday. You need a holiday.
You're doing it in a public venue. This is how you tell me. Helen.
I mean, I'm not going to actively go out of my way to watch this. However, if it was on over the festive period and I'd consumed so much cheese that I couldn't move to get the remote, so I would probably leave it on.
Boxing Day, you're on the sofa.
Yeah, I mean,
put it on.
It's inoffensive.
If you snooze in and out, it's not a problem.
Yeah. So what does that, a 2? Yeah, a 2.
You know as well as I do. I'm going to be a bit more, 2.5. I'd watch it. I'd quite like to. I think if we had like a day of watching Christmas films, this could possibly feature.
Quite late at night. So maybe the end. I'd probably get through the first hour.
I think it'd be maybe a bit earlier, actually, when you're kind of doing other stuff, maybe doing your wrapping, that kind of admin as well.
I was going to say, it's a perfect film for doing your wrapping too, or putting a bit of lunch on, so you haven't actually got to watch the screen for 2.5 hours.
Sure.
Just listen to Hans
in the background.
And you don't have to see Jack Black's smug face.
Creepy face.
I think is that smarmy? Is that face at the start?
Well, maybe he just looks confused.
It's that bit at the start where he's like playing the keyboard and he kind of fawns and he has that kind of big jutting chin that he has, which normally is like kind of funny, but it just looks.
I think the problem with the character, so he plays the character Miles, who's really like, he's like a puppy dog, isn't he? And you can throw anything at him and he's always like, oh, you know, and stuff. And it's like, no, have a feeling.
Small screen score.
So I just have watched it in the cinema a couple of times, which has been very nice. But overall,
have these both been instigated by yourself?
Well, one was just when it came out. I was like, let's check out The Holiday, as if I'm going to like that.
So the poster campaign didn't put you off?
No, I think I think it just looked nice. So we went to see it in the cinema. I don't think it was any special occasion. Just at 2006, would have been at university with a few friends of similar film tastes. And I think we quite liked rom-coms, so we just went for it. But apart from those like 2 times I've seen it in the cinema, every other time's been on a small screen. And the last, for watching it for this podcast, I watched it on an iPad in 2 parts. And it was great. It works so well in 2 parts. Highly recommend it.
So how does that translate?
It was really good seeing it in the cinema, and the music, I think the music is so good in this film. I think on a small screen, you don't quite get the full hands. So I'd go 4.5 for small screen score, because it is better on a big screen, if only for that amazing Hans Zimmer music.
I mean, you're saying
I really can't remember it. No, I remember like the Christmas songs, but I can't really remember any music.
I think you need to get on the Hans Zimmer Spotify playlist and get updated.
Yeah, the score is available on Spotify. And also, I think that's probably maybe a good sign of a score if you didn't, on your like first watch, if you don't notice it, because it's supposed to be about, you know, like moving you along with the characters and the plot. I think if you only notice the score, something in the film isn't working.
I don't know.
I mean, I just thought, I was listening the other day to some tracks from Arrival, and it just made me think how great that score was. Yeah. And that really lifted did all the things that it should do in a score.
And if you listen to Soundtracking by Edith Bowman, she can often talk about how the composer thinks about how they put the soundtrack together. And sometimes they are like, we just want to be an under the radar kind of thing, but sometimes the director needs them to kind of boost up the morale of the film or boost up the scene. So I think it kind of swings around about. But some of my favourite scores are ones that are really, really imposing. Mm. Like Gladiator Now, the film, not so interested in, but I love that soundtrack like so much. I think it's genuinely one of my favourite ones, talking about Hans Zimmer one, and that is big and pompous and overbearing in places.
It sort of matches the film. And I guess in a rom-com, rom-coms you don't want to have they're not always a showy soundtrack.
Nah.
So, I don't know, I think it might be a nice surprise when you listen to the score outside of the film.
Okay. Louise?
I think I'm going to go for A4 for this one. I think it works better on telly or with repeat viewings, as it were, rather than in one big cinema trip.
Helen?
I'm going to give it a 5. I think this is a perfect example of something you can watch on TV. I coincidentally also watched it in two sittings, the first half on an iPad and the second half on a TV. And either screen was fine for my enjoyment of the film.
As a side note, I do love how you can stop on one screen and pick off exactly where you left on it, wouldn't it?
It's the beauty of Netflix.
It is, isn't it?
And I kind of like the fact that it is on Netflix, and I think Netflix selection of Christmas films is okay. It's not as good as you expect, because you would probably expect like Gremlins and Elf to be there.
Well, it's pushing its own agenda this year, wasn't it? With the Kurt Russell one, which I haven't seen.
I haven't seen that either. But I mean, it's good that it's a go-to Christmas film and it's on Netflix, so that's why it kind of gets the full marks, I think, from me.
I think Love Actually was on there this year.
No.
engagement score, Sam. Sorry, I went for 5, by the way. Small screen score, I think. Yeah, why not?
So how do you judge engagement?
Would you choose it to wrap your Christmas presents to?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not sat there like glued in. I mean, if you're getting up to make a cup of tea, if you're filling in your tax return,
well, it's around Christmas time, a lot of people are.
Yeah, you can't give it a 5 if your attention is elsewhere.
Well, I think it's definitely a better film if you're engaged. So, like, we watched it over Christmas with some friends, and because I think they weren't so into it, there was some bants, and that's fine. It's totally a film that allows for some bants. But it is, like, it's quite easy to pick out a lot of the negative things and not appreciate the good things, because you could miss them if you're talking over it.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. When I watched it this time, I had my headphones on my iPad on my own. Mm. I was just like, yeah, this film's so good. I love it. So
time.
I think if you engage with it, the film rewards you. So I'll give it a 5 for engagement. But if you're on Twitter, then it's your own bloody fault.
Louise?
I'm going to go for a 3.75.
Ooh.
Yes. I think Sam is right in that the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. But at the same time, there's a few long scenes that really just bore me to tears. And I just sort of have to walk away for a bit and go make a cup of tea.
Helen?
This film is 2 hours and 15 minutes long. For about an hour, I was probably kind of with it. The rest of it, I sadly was not with it. So I can only give it a 2 for engagement, because the last hour did not fully have my attention, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think I was less engaged. I think I'm going for a 2.6. It was kind of good. I think the flipping flopping between the storylines kind of didn't necessarily happen at points that made sense. I think they kind of stuck too long sometimes with one set of people, and they went, oh shit, the other guys for a bit, and then go back to the other ones. And that's why I kind of think if they can make two separate stories, two separate films, I think that would have been better for me and make them shorter and more interesting. I think they just like the, I think Nancy probably liked the plot contrivance of, ooh, LA girl in the UK. Okay. UK girl in LA, fish, both fish out water and hilarity kind of ensues. And that gives us an overall score of 3.678, which is okay.
It's pretty good, that.
Yeah.
Strong, I think there was some strong fives there from you, Sam.
You're holding, yeah. holding the fort, yeah. we have a... I think rom-coms have done very well in the Flixwatcher pod. Harriet Met Sally is now the top scoring film ever.
Wow.
For Flixwatcher.
In the world.
Why would I talk about any other podcast?
Of course, or scoring system ever exactly. as a superior.
And followed quite closely by To All the Boys I Loved Before, which is also scores very high.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, definitely check it out.
As always, when we are recording, we put a shout out on Twitter. You'll notice it because we'll try and include a GIF and we'll say we're reviewing The Holiday with @Sam_Clements and Louise from @90minfilmfest. Have you seen it? Tell us your thoughts for an on-air shout out. So if you would like to read the first one for us, Sam.
So from Sarah May Tucson, she gives it 3 stars. I have a soft spot for this film because #KateWinslet is great, GR8. I'm a squidgy romantic, so I give any rom-com a lot of rope to hang itself, but it's got issues. Some sort of sign there. So zero chemistry between Kaywin and Jack B, patronizing ageism towards Eli Wallach's Arthur, plus levels of cloying sweetness. So I think even though they had some issues with the film, Sarah May still managed to enjoy it. 3 stars is a recommendation and above average.
Louise.
We've got another review from What Were They Thinking at WWTT Podcast. 2.5. I think I fell asleep during this one. Not great. Very formula and way too long.
Yeah.
It's not that long.
2 hours 15.
It is quite long.
Star Wars The Force Awakens is longer.
That's
biggest film of all time.
For two people that make a 90 minutes or less films podcast, 2.5 hours is really long.
Oh yeah, I mean, this would never be in our festival. Never. But as a Christmas tree.
Christmas treat.
So guys, thank you very much. Can you just sign off by telling Jasper where you can find you guys, if he wants to find you?
So Jasper, you can follow me on Twitter @Sam_Clements.
And Jasper, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram @90minfilmfest.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Great, thanks for coming on.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Flixwatcher Podcast. If you enjoyed that, please don't forget to subscribe to us. Leave a review. 5-star one. That would be sweet. And also do follow us on social media. We're on Twitter, for example, @FlixwatcherPod. Or, if you're feeling saucy, Instagram, we are just @FlixWatcher.
Special thanks to our awesome editor, Brendan Russell, for making this episode sound so sweet. And thanks to the mighty people for the tunes you can hear.